Airbnb.
Yetis, how much can you charge for your place? Important question, but hard to answer.
Airbnb helps host with that. They show you how much similar places in your area are going for so you can compare and contrast.
Jack, this two-bedroom walk-up, it's going for $300 a night on weekends, but my two-bedroom walk-up is nicer, it's got a pretty view, and maybe I'll put it up for $400 a night.
Nailing the price is key to being a satisfied host on Airbnb, and Airbnb helps you do it. Your home might be worth more than you think.
Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Rocket Money.
All right, Yetis, picture one place you can link all your money accounts to have one single picture of all your finances.
That's Rocket Money.
Yeah, it is.
But we love this app because it actually does a lot of different things for us.
Rocket Money, it's like our money manager. It shares money alerts like that refund that we've been waiting for.
And Rocket Money also helps us save money by helping us cancel subscriptions that we don't need anymore.
Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings.
Rocket Money has over 5 million users, and it saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features.
So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/TBOY.
That's rocketmoney.com/TBOY.
rocketmoney.com/TBOY.
Fabric by Gerber Life.
Yeah, a lot of people think that getting life insurance means you're insuring yourself for yourself.
But it's actually the exact opposite. You're insuring yourself for your family.
Yeah, Jack and I, we both got term life insurance to make sure our kids and our partners are taken care of if something happens to us.
Life insurance is how you protect your family's future, and we love Fabric.
Fabric by Gerber Life is term life insurance you can get done right here, right now. You could be covered from your couch in under 10 minutes with no health exam required.
And if you're young and healthy, now is the time to get life insurance.
Because you lock in low rates that fit your family and your budget.
Join the thousands of parents who trust Fabric to protect their family. Apply today in just minutes at meetfabric.com/tboy.
That's meetfabric.com/tboy.
Policies issued by Western Southern Life Assurance Company, not available in certain states, and prices subject to underwriting and health questions.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And this is Snacks Daily. It is Tuesday, T-Boy Tuesday, December 15th. We're kicking things off with a shout out to Sandra Lindsay, a nurse at Long Island Jewish Medical Center, the first American to get the COVID vaccine.
Jack, we're talking first inoculation of 2020, looking sharp.
Early favorite for 2021 word of the year.
Inoculated.
Exactly, it's inoculated. In the meantime, honestly, Jack and I whipped up probably our, would you say this is our best Snacks Daily we've ever done? This is a T-Boy for our first story. Zynga just partnered up with Google Home for something completely new. Get this, it's games for your ears, not your eyes, not your thumbs, just the ears. For our second story, a cybersecurity company that claims on their website, FireEye knows more about cybersecurity than anyone.
Awkward timing, Jack, because they also announced last week they just got hacked more than anyone.
They got majorly hacked more than anyone.
Third and final story. What do we got, Jack?
And Apple just decided to cancel a TV series that was set up for Apple TV Plus.
But this is about so much more than just a TV series.
This is about canceling a schmovie.
They're canceling a schmovie. That's what we're trying to say. It's a schmovie.
But Snackers, before we hit that T-Boy Tuesday, it is T-Boy Tuesday, and we're working on an album at Snacks Daily.
Honestly, Jack and I haven't decided on the album art for this thing. What are we thinking, by the way?
I know we can't afford that naked swimming baby from Nirvana.
No, he charges high prices now. He's tough to get.
But we're talking about the Best of Snacks 2020 album we're putting out soon.
That's right. Jack and I are trying to whip up our greatest hits from the, the worst year.
We want to know your favorite snack story from the past year.
Jack, maybe it was, Tesla becoming a young avocado tree.
Or maybe you enjoyed Lululemon's pandemic-proof mantra.
Or could it have been Chewy's barking bundle? Love that one.
Or how about one of the 38 times we talked about Casper's mattress?
Maybe it was Darlene whipping up two pumps of the top shelf hazelnut. She's fantastic.
Darlene is a Snacks Daily Hall of Famer.
Snackers, we want to know what should be in the Snacks Best of 2020 album.
This is the real deal, this album. It's a special podcast that is dropping next week while Nick and I are on vacation.
So technically it's not an album. It's actually a podcast. We should clarify.
But you will decide what is in this fake album by responding to a tweet we sent out at Robin and Snacks asking for your favorite pod stories of the year.
Or you can hit up Jack and me on Instagram or Twitter at T-Boy Jack, at Nick of New York.
The album is going to drop before the end of the year.
Tour dates, post-COVID, TBD, crowd surfing, highly encouraged.
Let's hit our three-star.
You're tuned in to Snacks Daily. We spoke- spoke to the lawyers and we gotta get something legal out the way. The snacks about to hear ain't food, it's ear candy. They don't reflect the views of the Robin Hood family. It's all informational, just so you know. We're not recommending any securities.
Nope.
It's not a research report or investment advice. Not an offer or sale of a security.
Right.
Snacks is digestible. Business news for you. Robin Hood Financial, LLC. Member FINRA /SIPC.
For our first story, Apple almost launched an exciting original TV show. This was going to be great.
Then CEO Tim Cook intervened and dramatically killed the deal.
So that got Jack and I wondering, who is really deciding what we watch on streaming?
But first, Nick, let me throw out some words for you. Gawker.
Yep.
Jezebel.
Following you.
Deadspin.
Okay, I gotcha.
Gizmodo. This was my Chrome browser's bookmarks back in 2011.
We're talking blogs that broke the rules of journalism over here.
Gawker launched blogs when it was cool to launch blogs.
Yeah, which was, I think, before it was cool to launch podcasts.
Yes. Now, founded in 2003, Gawker was an online media company that thrived writing mostly true things that embarrassed powerful people.
Jack was there in an affair. Someone got caught in the lie. Maybe a leak.
That is the juice that Gawker thrived on and what drove the clicks.
And Gawker enjoyed a whole bunch of growth from that, but then got destroyed by billionaire Peter Thiel, who financed lawsuits suing it into oblivion.
That's a whole nother story that you can feel free to Google to learn more about.
But here's what Jack and I thought was fascinating. A bunch of former Gawkerers thought that the drama of their former employer, Gawker, could make for a pretty interesting TV show.
We agree. From the founding to the blogs, to the blogs, to the destruction from a lawsuit, that sounds pretty interesting.
It could have gone from blog to streaming to podcast, I think is what you're trying to say.
Now, these former Gawkers, they sold the story to Apple TV Plus, which really needs another show in this post-morning show era that they're in.
Jack, we're living in a world without Jennifer Aniston, and I don't know if I can get through it.
So the deal got sold, but then the show got killed because Tim Cook, Apple CEO, heard about the deal.
Turns out Tim Cook has got some bad blood with Gawker because they outed him with an article against Cook's will just a few years ago.
Back in 2008, Gawker published that the not yet Apple CEO was gay, and he hadn't announced it yet himself.
Tim Cook was understandably very upset about this.
So then this year, Tim Cook's like, Gawker is not getting a show while I'm running the company.
That's right. Tim Cook stepped in, personally intervened to stop this Gawker show from happening.
So, Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Apple TV Plus?
The power in media has shifted from Hollywood moguls to Silicon Valley CEOs.
The heads of movie studios used to have huge power on the movies and shows we were all watching and consuming.
And these movies and shows that we watch and consume, they shape our culture.
Yes, they did. So Jack and I have complained when we used to see movie studios remove elements that, like Chinese censors, didn't like them including in our movies.
Today, however, streaming video is winning. And the streamers, they're all owned by big tech companies.
Jack, I'm going over our little whiteboard over here. We got Apple TV Plus, 40 million subscribers in the US. You got Netflix, 73 million US subscribers. And then I'm not even going to count everything going on with Amazon Prime.
So now the tech CEOs are deciding what movies and shows get made, and art, entertainment, those aren't always the priorities.
No, they're not. Here are the questions Jack and I think they're asking. Does it affect our other business lines? What will the impact be on our international expansion plans? And is doing this show going to invite regulation?
In 2014, Sony greenlit and produced the movie The Interview, which parodied North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un.
Yes, it did. But here's the thing Jack and I are thinking. That kind of film probably would have been killed by Apple if they were going to put it on their own streaming service.
Tim Cook doesn't want to risk Apple's profits, and he doesn't want to ruffle a North Korean dictator's feathers.
That means power shifted from Hollywood to Silicon Valley. For our second story, mobile gaming icon Zynga is launching an unprecedented partnership.
Zynga wants to put games in your ears with the help from Google.
Okay, Zynga Snaggers. We're talking the OG of mobile games. Jack, bring me back Words of Friends, Farmville.
Never played the latter, played the former a bunch of times. Zynga followed the piggyback strategy. Launch a game on Facebook and then grow as Facebook grows.
Look, Ma, no hands.
Now, Words with Friend Snackers, to those who haven't played, was like Scrabble.
Yes,
but there's no tiles you need to very carefully put in place over the double word score.
The big question, Jack, were more friendships ended from Scrabble games or from Words with Friends games?
I'm actually big on Scrabble. I think it's making a pandemic comeback.
Problem, though,
when you do the piggyback strategy and you happen to be Zynga.
Yes, when Facebook tweaks their algorithm, they can crush Zynga. No more words, no more friends, and Zynga stock fell 80% in 2012.
8 years after that catastrophe, Snacker, Zynga, it hasn't like fully recovered. It really hasn't.
But it is worth one lift, which is impressive. It's doing about $2 billion in revenue per year on their app-based mobile games.
Which I'd like to point out has 71 games free to download and play. Do less, Zynga, do less.
That led us to yesterday's shocker. Zynga has now partnered with Google Home for new games using the same piggyback strategy as 8 years ago.
That's what blew us away. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on the entire management over at Zynga.
The differentiator this time, it's not on Facebook. These are voice-based games.
True.
You can talk to the Google Nest, the voice assistant, which controls your home, and play the game with it through your words.
So here's how Zynga and Google see this going down, which Jack and I actually thought made a lot of interesting sense. Basically, you just yell out, "Hey Google, three across is S-N-A-C-K-S."
This new game, the first audio game, is called Daily Word Wheel, which basically presents you one fun word puzzle per day.
This is going to be a free new voice anagram puzzle you can play while you're doing something else.
So let's say you get snacks. That's a five-letter word that can also become can or sack or even sacks.
Gotta love those plurals. Those are where the winners are. But the key here is that you can be throwing all those words around while you're cooking up a lasagna on the side.
You can ask your Google for a hint. Literally, "Hey Google, I don't know, give me a hint."
And that's how you can play this new Zynga game.
Now, there's a joke over at Zynga that they're so desperate for new customers, they would put a game on a toaster if it gave them new customers.
The best part about this joke is that this is the joke among Zynga employees.
Apparently, we've got some PFWTMs.
Because the goal is growth over at Zynga.
With this new audio game, they're trying to create gamers from people not playing games yet by catching them while they're multitasking.
So, Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies searching for growth over at Zynga?
Smartphones blew up video games. Zynga thinks voice assistants will blow up audio games.
Snackers, the App Store is like stuffed with free smartphone games for you to play all the time, with probably too many games for you to play all the time.
Zynga's been playing against like the bajillion free gaming apps on the App Store, and they're exhausted. So they're creatively thinking ahead of where customers are today.
So radio might be semi-dead right now, but audio definitely is not dead right now.
Spotify invested $1 billion in podcast companies.
Clubhouse, an audio-only social network, is worth $100 million and yet only has 1,500 users.
Audio is so in, over 100 million people are going to drop $200 this year for Apple's AirPods.
We're talking a jump of over 60%.
Zynga thinks that your ears want games just as much as your eyes and thumbs do.
And voice assistants now make that possible. For our third and final story, the most important cybersecurity company in the country just got hacked.
But ironically, weirdly, that may not be a bad thing for them long term.
No, long term, honestly, this may even be a good thing for them. Snackers, here is the headline that everyone else was looking at.
Russian hackers broke into a bunch of U.S. federal government agencies this spring.
All right, we're talking about like one of the biggest, most sophisticated hacks on the United States government ever, and it lasted for months just like undetected. We're talking Bourne style.
We just learned about it, but Russian attacks on democracy, that's better covered on other podcasts.
That's true. That's not why you guys tuned into Jack and I on Snacks Daily. Here's what Jack and I saw when we saw that headline.
A Silicon Valley firm that prides itself on being the best in cybersecurity got hacked.
Yeah, they were a victim as well. We're talking FireEye. They got hacked by the hackers it's supposed to protect us against.
Oh, by the way, it seems that Russia saw that we were focused on election security.
Oh, yeah,
so they hacked like everything else that we weren't looking at.
Razzle dazzle them on the left, dipsy doodle them on the right.
Now, this is a big deal because the hackers now have FireEye's playbook, which we're calling the Stop the Hackers playbook.
Yeah, basically, this is the toolkit that FireEye uses to protect against the worst kind of hacks in the known universe.
This is the toolkit that FireEye uses for the other SaaS, security as a service.
And that's what they do, because FireEye's customers include, get this, half of the Fortune 500. They're in big company.
And they are doing business with a bunch of government agencies, including the Department of Homeland Security.
What we're trying to say is some of your personal information is probably protected by FireEye, and it's probably the social security number.
Now, what FireEye actually does sounds kind of awesome.
Honestly, this is such a thrilling business model. This should have been the last Bourne movie.
FireEye's clients ask FireEye to pretend that they are nefarious hackers and do their very best to hack the company so that they can identify weaknesses and then protect against them.
Snackers, Jack has been desperate to use the word nefarious at some point this year. I'm so glad we got this in before the end of 2020.
FireEye's clients are like, come at me, bro. Give me your best, bro.
Come at me, bro.
Now, the optics here of FireEye getting hacked themselves is not good.
Yeah, because the service they're trying to sell customers, they can't even use to protect themselves with.
FireEye's stock is down 13% since the announcement because the top pest control guy in town, his whole house has been overrun by ferrets.
Nothing more adorable, nothing more scary. So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at FireEye?
The best thing to happen to cybersecurity stocks was this major hacking.
Funny thing Jack and I noticed yesterday after the biggest hack of the year, cybersecurity ETFs, exchange-traded funds, they actually rose.
The companies in that ETF, like Palo Alto Networks, Zscaler, and Fortinet, those are the big cybersecurity stocks, and they all jumped yesterday.
That's because the whole Russian hacktastrophe highlighted a weakness in FireEye, but that weakness was overwhelmed by something even greater.
In a world where people are working from home, using the cloud, using their computer to do all of their work,
everything,
cybersecurity is more important than ever.
No company, though, is 100% hack-proof, even the hack protector.
FireEye's failure just emphasizes the risk that we all face to cybersecurity.
But then Jack and I think FireEye's failure could ironically drive even more business. Jack, can you whip up the takeaways over there for us?
Apple just killed a show about Gawker because Tim Cook is in charge.
Silicon Valley, not Hollywood, is deciding what shows, what movies, what schmovies are getting made.
For our second story, Zynga's latest game piggybacks off Google's new voice assistant.
And we're thinking voice assistants could do to audio games what smartphones did to video games.
For our third and final story, FireEye fell victim to Russia's latest attack on America.
It ironically just might actually boost the entire cybersecurity industry. Now time for our snack facts sent in by snacker Fabian B. in lovely Turlock, California.
Turns out the hula hoop, you know, the thing where you wiggle your hips?
Doing it right now. Always every pod.
The hula hoop was originally marketed as a fitness device to jiggle away the fat.
Well, apparently they found some nice product market fit because 100 million hula hoops were sold in just the first 6 months of 1958.
That is crazy. But today, hula hoops are marketed as a device to get attention at the beach and to potentially make you nauseous.
Also apparently powerful drivers of growth.
Snackers, we need your help building our Snacks Daily Best of 2020 album. So make sure to reach out to us on Twitter at Robinhood Snacks.
Yeah, Jack and I want to drop this thing. You got to let us know your favorite story, your favorite takeaway, your favorite mattress.
You can also DM us on Instagram at Nick of New York or T-Boy Jack.
You looked fantastic today. We'll see you tomorrow.
And before we go, snackers, we got to do this first time ever, our first ever Snacks Daily gender reveal on the pod live. Ruchi in Chicago is having a baby boy. Congratulations.
It's a baby boy, Ruchi. Congratulations. Chicago does logistics. Ruchi does boys.
Also, big shout out to ER doctor Joseph Check, who has worked 300 straight days in the ER in Trumbull, Connecticut.
And to Armin, Luca, Philip, James, and Casey, congrats all Brown Bears finishing their exams up in Providence.
Big shout out to Oz and Sue, who just got married in Massachusetts, who hail from Turkey.
And to Diane and Eric, happy anniversary over in Queens, New York.
And happy anniversary to Dax and Emily in Pilsen, Kansas.
And to Oscar Seeger in lovely Eagan, Minnesota, happy birthday.
Oscar, any relation to Bob? Happy birthday to Ari in Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia.
And Rodrigo Amaya in Jacksonville, Florida.
And Tuvar in Norwalk, Connecticut. This is Jack. Nick owns stock of Apple. I own stock of Amazon. And Nick owns stock of Lululemon.
The Robinhood Snacks podcast you just heard reflects the opinions of only the hosts who are associated persons of Robinhood Financial LLC and does not reflect the views of Robinhood Markets Inc. or any of its subsidiaries or affiliates. The podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to serve as a recommendation to buy or sell any security and is not an offer or sale of a security. The podcast is also not a research report and is not intended to serve as the basis of any investment decision. Robinhood Financial LLC, member FINRA, SIPC.
If you like The Best One Yet, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
And before you go, tell us a little bit about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
We want to get to know you.